Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She can kill with a smile. She can wound with her eyes.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now is best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom's now selling Lululemon apparel. Yes, your favorite golf store is bringing you Lululemon golf polos, pants, shorts, and skorts, plus women's leggings and other lifestyle pieces. Go to golfdomgolf.com or go to their store in Tysons. Golfdom, live the game. Hey, John.
Morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Doing well. We had a day off in the middle of the week, which is strange. But so it's almost like we had a 2-day work week after that.
Yeah, it is strange when you get a day off in the middle of the week. When it happens for me, it kind of throws off. You know, I wake up in the morning and I go, "What day is it?" But it was for a good cause.
Sure, John. So Marty Herney. Long time ago was a writer here in town, and I don't know if you had a relationship with him. You probably did when he was with the Redskins. You know, and then Charlie mentioned that Ernie Accorsi had made that similar leap. We know that agents are making that leap to GM, especially like in baseball and basketball. What other writers come to mind that have made that leap? Because it's very rare.
Yeah, no, it is very rare. Ernie did it years and years ago and, of course, had great success. As a general manager, particularly with the Giants, where he was responsible for their ending up with Eli Manning in the 2004 draft. And, of course, he went on to win two Super Bowls, Eli Manning did. Ernie was with the Cleveland Browns before that. And I didn't know Marty Herney, actually, because, as you pointed out, he was on the football beat. And I was never, you know, I would cover games. At times, when I was very young at the paper, I was sent to write sidebars on Sunday because George Solomon couldn't bear the idea of me having a day off. But I never was around the team on a regular basis. Never. I knew some of the beat writers, certainly the post beat writers, but not a lot of them. So I didn't know Marty. A good friend of mine, Keith Drum, who gave me some of my first work as a stringer when I was in college at the Durham Morning Herald. He was a sports editor, became a scout for both the Portland Trail Blazers and the Sacramento Kings for 23 years and just recently retired, was really respected in basketball circles. But beyond that, I can't think of that many guys who did it. It is. You said it right. It is very rare for that to happen for somebody
would
to make.
Would you
want
to do it?
One other guy. God, I'm going to block on his name, and he's really the guy who was at Lee. He was at Sports Illustrated. He broke the story of LeBron James going back to Cleveland. Very good writer. He's now in the front office of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, okay. Would you ever, like, what sport, if you could, because I know I'd be a terrible general manager.
Lee
I know
Jenkins,
that.
By the way, Lee Jenkins?
Lee Jenkins, way to go.
That
way
might
to
be
go,
it.
Jason, yes. Very good writer.
Well, you can thank Google for that one.
Would
okay,
you want to
you,
GM, like, a hockey team or a baseball team or a basketball team? If you could make the leap, which one would it be?
I don't think I'd be a very good GM, but probably the sport that I know best, understand best, is basketball. I certainly would never be able to be a GM in hockey. I would have no chance to judge linemen in football. Baseball, maybe, but basketball is the sport. I actually talked at different times to college coaches about, maybe being some kind of volunteer assistant. In fact, I was going to do it at Harvard about, almost 20 years ago now with Frank Sullivan, because Harvard only had two full-time assistants. Unlike other schools that had four, you're allowed four, but Harvard only had two. And Frank Sullivan and I were and are very good friends, and I was going to come up, spend a season, and be a volunteer assistant coach and write a book about it. It made all sorts of sense. And then the Harvard AD, who was a bad guy, got involved and just made it too difficult, so I didn't do it, which is a shame.
John, what was your takeaway from Alex Smith's appearance on 60 Minutes last week? He said he was emboldened by the way he played and coming back from the injury with the Washington football team, and Washington football team's in kind of a bad spot where they have to figure out what to do with Alex going forward with the salary it's still due him. What were your takeaways from Alex on 60 Minutes?
Well, not that anything really different than what we've discussed in the past. I think Alex would like to play. I think he'd like to play. Yeah, I think he's got 2 years left on that contract.
Yeah.
I think in an ideal world, his ideal world, he would play out the contract and be the starter next year. And whether that'll happen, what'll happen with they're not going to draft high enough to get any of the so-called special quarterbacks in this draft. And I say so-called not because I'm doubting any of these particular guys, but because we know that drafting a quarterback high is a hit or miss thing. That year, a couple years ago when there were four guys drafted in the top 10, two have been very successful, Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, and two have not been successful, Darnold and the kid from UCLA, Rosen. And meanwhile, the 32nd pick is the best player among them. But so they've got to make decisions. My guess is they're going to try to sign a free agent. They're going to try to sign a free agent of some kind to play quarterback. There are guys who are available, who will be available, excuse me. If Alex wants to play, keep him around as the backup and maybe try to draft someone who might have potential down the road as a third stringer. Because especially with Alex's situation, the guy behind Alex, whether Alex is the starter or the second stringer, is almost certainly going to have to move up and play at some point because Alex isn't going to play 16 games.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a big decision for them. All right, so getting back to basketball, I was reading some articles yesterday, John, and I'm not sure how many college coaches you talk to on a weekly basis. I'm sure you do. But there are some unnamed coaches who think that the NCAA will shut the season down, a mid-season shutdown in February. There are multiple games being canceled or postponed, 15% to 20% every night. We don't want to see it. I certainly don't want to see it. I want to see them play conference tournaments and, of course, the NCAA tournament, which they will play. Conference tournaments, I think, are probably up in the air, but some coaches do think that where we are now, where we stand with the virus, that there's going to be a mid-season shutdown. Do you think that's going to happen?
No, I don't. I think, and I don't have any special insight, but I think that what they are going to do is what they've been doing, try to play as many games as possible, try to get as many games in. You know you're not going to get full seasons in for a lot of teams. I mean, St. Louis, still, which is ranked, still hasn't played a conference game.
I know. It's crazy.
That's a team that, based on what I saw before they stopped playing, that's an NCAA tournament team. That's a very good team, but they haven't played a conference game yet. American and Loyola of Maryland just played their first conference games last weekend. UMBC is going on pause for sure this weekend and probably next weekend. And as you said, Jason, it's that way across the country. And so I think what they're going to do is they're going to get in as many games as they can. And when they get to what should be Selection Sunday, which is March 14th, you know, obviously they'll make a decision before then. They'll either say, okay, we have enough teams with enough games to go ahead and put together a field, or let's make up some of the games that were missed if we can and push the tournament back. They don't want to do that. The networks don't want them to do that. Mm-hmm. But it may, depending on how many games. I mean, if a team like St. Louis has only played 10 games or something, right, what do you do? But you're right, Jason. There will be a tournament. I don't think there'll be a shutdown.
Here's a predicament. What if they get to Selection Sunday, or there's 68 teams selected, all right, and they're fine, but then the Tuesday before the first round, a team or two has a breakout and they have to cancel? Are they going to have backup teams to fill slots?
Yes, I think they will. But the larger problem comes like this. So you play the first weekend and you get down to the Sweet 16.
Right.
And then two of the Sweet 16 teams have a breakout.
Right.
What do you do then? Do you just advance their opponent to the Elite Eight, or do you bring somebody back who lost to play in the Sweet 16? I'll take it a step further. What if Gonzaga and Baylor win their semifinal games on Final Four weekend and they're set for, you know, an incredibly hyped championship game, and then there's a breakout on one of those teams? I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios that can mess this whole thing up, and it doesn't take that much. It's not like they're far-fetched scenarios, because we see this happening all the time.
Oh, I think it's going to happen. There's going to be a situation.
It's almost inevitable. You've got 68 teams. It's almost inevitably going to happen.
100% it's going to happen.
And they have to have a plan in place.
Yeah, I think with the Gonzaga-Baylor.
They can't just say, okay, the committee will meet on Sunday and decide who's going to play against, you know, Louisville.
Well, the fewer amount of teams, you can move the games. But if I'm just talking about, like, the 68 are slotted or the 64 are slotted, and then a day before they're supposed to play, you know, the 14 seed can't play. I mean, do you advance the 3
no,
seed?
They'll have backup. You know, they'll probably, because you remember nowadays they always announce who the first five teams out are.
Yeah.
So those five teams, it'll be like, you know, alternates in a golf tournament or a tennis tournament.
Right.
You know, if somebody has to drop out, one of the alternates will drop in. I don't think it's that major a problem. It's a problem before the tournament starts. I think it's when the tournament's already underway and teams have lost, and then a team they've lost to has a breakout and can't play. To me, that's when they're going to really have problems saying this is a legitimate event. Okay, so-and-so lost, but we're going to let them play in the next round because the team that beat them can't play. That's a problem. And again, they've got to have an announced plan in place before anybody tips it up in Indiana on whatever the date now is. Now, notice, by the way, you know, they announced their schedule, and what they're doing is they're stretching it out to have as many TV windows as possible. Like the Sweet 16, normally you have games going on at the same time on Thursday night and Friday night. Mm-hmm. All the 16 games will be played in separate windows so that they can get that much more TV advertising in. You know, it's all about the money ultimately.
Talking to John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, who has story time. You can follow him on Twitter at jfeinsteinbooks. And I'm intrigued. Didn't hear the story, but you have one about Cindy Crawford?
I do, actually. And I put it up in the last couple days, or maybe it was last week. I lose track of time, like I said. I actually met Cindy Crawford. I was in New York. I was doing Charlie Rose. And I was promoting my first baseball book, Play Ball. So this is early 90s. And she was married at the time to Richard Gere. Mm-hmm. And so I show up to do Charlie Rose, and I walk into the green room, and there's this entourage. And one of the producers says to me, John, he introduces me to Richard Gere, who kind of looks right through me. And then there's like 10 other people, you know, agents and hangers-on and God knows what, and blah, 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 blah. And none of them have any interest in meeting me. And then at the very back of the line is this tall, stunning woman wearing no makeup at all and just, you know, knock your socks off, beautiful. And she says, oh, hi, John, I'm Cindy. It's nice to meet you. And Cindy Crawford, I mean, I figured that out in about 0.7 seconds. So luckily for me, when Gere goes to be interviewed by Charlie Rose, he was there to talk about his friendship with the Dalai Lama. The only person who stayed in the green room and in the entourage was Cindy Crawford.
Wow.
So she and I are sitting there together alone because I'm on after Gere. And I'm trying to think of something to say to her, you know, to start a conversation of some kind. And she looks at me and she says, didn't you write a tennis book? And I said, yeah, I did.
Icebreaker, look at that.
I mean, really? And she says, so tell me what Chris Evert's like. And so I started talking about Chris Evert, and then, you know, she asked about McEnroe, and we were having this great conversation. And then somebody comes, I started, my first question, I asked her something. I said, so how well do you know the Dalai Lama? And she says, oh, I never met the Dalai Lama. That's Richard's thing. And then she asked me the tennis question. And so we're talking, and the producer comes in and says, Mr. Feinstein, you know, they're ready for you. Come on to the studio. And I wanted to, no, let Gear do another segment. I'll just stay here. I'm good.
That's true. Yeah,
I just wanted to stay here.
Unfortunately, they insisted that I go on the air.
Yeah, right.
So that's she divorced him shortly thereafter. I wonder if, she was just dazzled by me. But, uh-huh. Yeah, so Cindy Crawford Princess Diana, I had meetings with, although my meeting with Princess Diana was much briefer than that.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go, I wanted to bring up Justin Thomas, and it was very, very unfortunate. I like him. I've never met him, but I know you like him. I've talked to Steve Sands. He loves him. You can't say that word, obviously. He certainly didn't say it on purpose. He just, we say bad things.
No, it just came out instinctively because he was upset.
We say bad things. You should hear some of the things I say on golf courses when I miss
putts. Oh, my God. I could never admit to what I said.
He's losing his sponsors, and you knew that was going to happen. What can he do? How can he come back from this? Is he going to have a reputation
now
forever?
He's just
got to
ride it out.
What do you think should happen here?
Well, first of all, I mean, you're right about we all say things on golf courses we shouldn't take. The only time I ever heard my mother curse was on a golf course.
Wow.
And I remember the first time she missed a putt, and she said the S word. Mm-hmm. And I said, Mom! And she said, you're allowed to curse on the golf course. Oh, okay. That's good to know. But, what Justin said was, and the only thing he said that I had a problem with was, this isn't who I am. Well, it is who you are if you say the word. But he didn't say if I offended anybody. He said I was wrong. I'm a grown man. I should know better. He said all the things he should have said in the aftermath. He's losing sponsors. He's gonna lose sponsors for a while. But he's not as good a player as Tiger Woods. But Tiger Woods was forgiven for things a lot worse than what Justin Thomas did by most of the golf public and by sponsors. And I think Justin just has to keep being himself for the next couple of years, because himself, as we said, is a good guy.
He's a
guy the media likes, a guy fans like, a guy other players like. You might have seen Rory McIlroy defended him in his press conference in Dubai the other day. And if he continues to win, if he wins another major, the sponsors will come running back.
Yeah,
that's the way of the world. If you win, you're forgiven for just about anything. And he's going to have to deal with this for a while, and he should. He made a mistake, and I'm sure he'll get past it because he's a young guy and he's a really good player.
Yeah, well, we agree.
And a good
there,
guy, as I said.
I think he should be immediately forgiven. I mean, he made a mistake.
But,
he apologized.
But he shouldn't be immediately forgiven. No, you make a mistake, you apologize. And then you deal with consequences. He made a mistake.
He didn't make that big a mistake. He said a bad thing.
Eric, he's been playing professional golf for years now. It's not like this is the first time he played a round of golf with microphones around. He's been doing it for years.
He just said something stupid.
People get so upset about saying something stupid.
In this day and age.
Yeah, he's totally stupid.
But how it is, Eric.
People are getting carried away.
In this day and age, even if it's a mistake and it was heat of the moment, he's going to get crushed.
Of course it's a mistake. But
he's going to get crushed.
Come on. He's a great guy. He said something stupid.
I don't think any differently of him. I mean,
nobody's saying he's not a good guy. Everybody's saying he's a good guy who did something stupid, just like occasionally bad guys do something good. I mean, that's the way. I mean, there have to be consequences when you do something that's wrong. And it wasn't
wrong
to say what he said. There have to be consequences, and you suffer the consequences, and then you come out on the other end.
Well, I'd say if you lose, a $50 million.
I wish in my life every time I did something wrong, I could just say, I'm sorry, and it's over.
Well, hold on. If you lose a $50 million or whatever it is polo deal, that's a pretty big consequence.
Not that much, first of all. But second of all, he's not gonna have to worry about paying his mortgage. he's fine financially.
Of course
he's paying a price. Let me tell you a story. You guys know what – I know we have to go, but 15 years ago – 15 years ago, maybe more, I said the F word on the air during a Navy football broadcast.
Yeah.
And I apologized immediately. I said there was no excuse for it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I swear to God, it's now 15 years later, so I still have people come up to me and say, hey, you going to say the F word on the air today? So I'm still paying the price for that. Not financially, but in terms of, you know, people – when they think of, I was on the Navy Football Network for 14 years. Mm-hmm. The only time people ever bring that up is when they bring up that moment. So that's life.
I still think we should be able to say that word whenever we want.
I agree.
Well, that's a different issue. Get a job on SiriusXM.
I mean, 8-year-old
kids
say
we've been trying to do that, John.
Well, when you do, let me know, and we can just throw profanities around.
All right. I'll let you know.
That's coming. That day is coming. Don't worry.
All right. Something to look forward to. Because, I'm no angel when it comes to profanity. I've never claimed to be. I mean, I said the F word on a radio broadcast. But that's the word he used.
Join the club.
If he had said the F word, he would have been fined by the PGA Tour, and that would have been it.
It was the wrong F word.
Right.
Exactly.
Wrong F word.
We do have to run. Good stuff.
All right.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. Remember, we got Stucky from the Action Network to give us some winners for a championship Sunday coming up at 9:40 on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Right now, we'll get into Championship Sunday as we do the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. So you don't have games on Saturday and Sunday. It's Championship Sunday, 3:05 kick. Tampa heads to Lambeau to take on a Packers team that they beat earlier in the season. In that game, Aaron Rodgers had a couple of interceptions. He was pressured on almost 50% of his dropbacks. Of course, Tampa has won two games during this playoff run, beating, of course, Washington in the wild card round and then beating New Orleans last week on the road. Can they make it three wins on the road to get to the Super Bowl, which would be in Tampa?
I'm going to say no. I think the Tom Brady ride ends at Lambeau this weekend.
Look, if Green Bay can run the ball like they did against a really good defense last week in the Rams, now I know Aaron Donald wasn't 100%. I mean, he was probably 60%. He just really couldn't move. But, man, they ran the ball great. And it wasn't just Jones who ran the ball great. Williams, too, behind
him.
They've
got a three-headed monster there with those two guys and the A.J. Dillon pick.
Yeah. Now, Dillon got banged up in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, he went down with an injury. I don't know if he returned. I don't know how serious it was.
Yeah, but you're right.
They have some depth at running back.
They do. So if they can run the ball like that, lights out.
But it's hard to run on Tampa, number one rushing defense. I know Charlie Casserly came on the show and said that you can run against them. I mean – But that's okay. Then you just put it in the hands of Aaron Rodgers, and he gets it to Devontae and Bob Tonyan, and he hits Alan Lazard or, you know, his other ancillary
Scantling.
Pieces.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers is at the peak of his powers right now. I would not bet against him.
He's playing really great football, no doubt.
Putting all my money on Green Bay.
Tom Brady in a championship game. By the way, a little dust up between Bill Belichick's girlfriend and some people on Instagram. So she posted like a photo on her Instagram, and somebody commented, "Too bad Bill let Tom go." She got bitter, and she said, "And you have all the answers, evidently? Tom didn't score last night, not once. Defense won that game. Were you even watching?" And the reality is, Tom Brady had 3 touchdowns in the game.
Yeah, was she watching?
She's an idiot.
Yeah, what was she doing?
The reason that Tampa is in the NFC Championship game is because of Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Now, he was given short fields because Drew Brees had arguably his worst playoff game as
a pro. Okay, but you still got to make the throws.
Correct.
You know? I don't know. It just comes down to if Green Bay can run the ball, and I'm not saying they're going to run for 200 yards like they did against the Rams, but if they can run the ball and keep the ball and move the chains – I think the weather's going to be bad. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to make enough plays. Tom Brady will make some plays too, but I always would take, you know, Green Bay and Rodgers at home in those elements over a team from Florida. Even though Tom Brady's used to playing in those elements, not all of those guys are.
If you look at the numbers in terms of rushing yards allowed, they're equal. Both teams. Mm-hmm. Packers give up 96 a game, and the Bucs give up 95. So I don't know why are we assuming that the Bucs are markedly better than Green Bay at that? I don't know.
Where are you getting those numbers? Because I see Green Bay giving up 132.
You might be looking at postseason numbers.
You're looking at playoff numbers.
Yeah, you're looking at
during the season. I believe Green Bay gave up about 133 yards per game.
Oh, I'm not seeing it. Yeah, I don't know.
You could run on the Packers during the regular season.
I'm on ESPN. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think you went right to – they immediately put the postseason stats up there. You got to go to the regular season.
All right.
But look.
But are you that scared
of – two great quarterbacks.
I mean, you're not that scared of Fournette and Ronald Jones, are you? I mean, those guys have done a serviceable job, but
– Well, I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of them, but they've got, you know, 3 legitimate receivers. I know Antonio Brown's questionable, but I would assume he's going to play. So Brown – and Evans and Godwin, I mean, he's got weapons. So how good is the secondary for Green Bay? I don't know how good they are.
On a fantasy angle, Jason, I don't know if you agree with me on this. Mike Evans is a guy that I would almost never draft because he gets hurt like every single week. He's questionable like every week with like an ankle or a hammy. He's always banged up. Now, he's a spectacular talent. Yeah. And especially in the red zone. I mean, I know that Tom Brady has looked his way a lot in the red zone this season. He's just a guy that I'm always wary about because he's always like grabbing at his leg.
But think about this. He didn't have a great year this year because he was hurt for a lot of the season. He had 13 touchdowns.
I know. I'm just telling you.
He's a red zone mark.
Yeah, but he's a red flag for your boy during fantasy drafts.
All right, so your 6:40 game on Sunday pits the Chiefs against the Bills. They also played earlier this season. But the Bills have been rolling of late. If you look at the last 5 games that the Bills have played, including their win against Baltimore in the playoffs, 17-3. They did have a tight one against the Colts. But before that, they just shredded Miami, beat up on New England, pulverized Denver. Mm-hmm. They've been rolling. And if you look at the Chiefs over the last half of the season, I know Jason keeps discounting it. They've been in a lot of squeakers. I think they're 1-7 against the spread in their last 8 games. And they haven't been quite the offensive juggernaut that we expect.
Yeah, but they got Mahomes. And it's a little unfair. I mean, I know they're not covering a bunch of games, but they're usually giving 7 to 14 points in those games. They give 3 in this game. So if you think they're going to win, they're probably going to cover the 3. So I wouldn't even worry about the ats number against the spread number. If you think they're going to win, they're probably going to cover that 3. And how healthy is Mahomes? I'm not really worried about the head and the neck. I'm just, what about that foot, that toe he was battling last week?
I just have a special feeling about Buffalo lately. They just seem to have some magic.
Well, you're rooting for the Terp.
Maybe. I mean, I think Diggs has been phenomenal this year. Josh Allen obviously have a great connection. There just seems to be some magic about them. And the Chiefs, as good as they are, they play a lot of close games this year. And I don't know. I would not feel super comfortable betting the Chiefs this
week. Well, if you're going to bet, download that, especially in Virginia, get that FanDuel app on your phone, use my promo code BISH, and throw some cash.
There you go. Do it.
And they got some great
offers. Your first deposit, right, Jason? Isn't there deal on your first deposit? They'll match.
They're giving you a 25-to-1 odds boost on either any of those games, either whatever team you like. They're giving you a 25-to-1 odds boost, and then look, it's a great offer.
Talking about it last night.
Offer.
They're offering wackadoo bets, like basically they're giving you money, like bets, will Giannis score a point in tonight's game?
Yeah, $1,000 credit.
They want to get you signed up.
They want you in the mix.
You want to put $1,000 on a game, you lose it, they give it right back.
What is the matchup you want to see, Jason Bishop? You get to draw it up. Forget about spreads. Just who do you want to see in the Super Bowl?
By the way, any of the matchups are great. But I would like to see Rodgers and Mahomes.
Yeah, I want to see Rodgers Mahomes as well.
But look, if Tampa is there, if Tampa Bay is there, I mean,
Draft's desperate for Tampa to make it. He's so horny for that to happen.
Why?
Draft
being serious or facetious?
He also wins
the pool.
He will win the pool.
It's for the junkies pool.
Eric, don't you root for greatness? Wouldn't you be?
I do. They're all great. All these guys are great.
Yeah, but having Tom win another one, that'd be like Tiger.
That would be insane. Yeah, sure. I would be into that. I just think Aaron Rodgers is playing at another level right now.
Do you think
I just wouldn't bet against him.
Do you think that behind closed doors, Belichick knew? I'm not saying he knew that Tampa would be this good, but he knew that when Tom went to Tampa, they were going to be an instant contender.
No, I think that Belichick. I think the girlfriend is probably parroting Belichick. That Belichick thought Brady was washed a little bit, overrated, and I think that's why the girlfriend is saying that Tom didn't win it. It was the defense.
No, I think he knew that Tom could still play and that they would be successful.
There's no way he thought Cam Newton was going to be as good as Tom this year. Just
no.
I think he just wanted to cut bait and move on and get it over with. Mm-hmm. And he knew he would probably struggle for a year or two. I mean, they had a bunch of guys that didn't even play this year, right? Didn't that bunch of guys opt out?
A lot of opt-outs.
This
was like a wash year for them anyway.
Well, what matchups do you guys want to see? Does it matter in terms of
I want to see Green Bay KC.
I guess that would be the sexy one.
I'd love to see Buffalo upset Kansas City. I'd like to see Josh Allen get the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think there's something magical Cinderella about the Bills. They might be my underdog team of the four. I'm probably rooting for them the hardest.
I mean, if Green Bay and Kansas City advance and get to the Super Bowl, Vegas might set that total like 57, 58. Uh-huh. I mean, that would be a big number for that total, I would think.
Right.
I'd love to see the Mahomes-Rodgers.
I like it.
Nobody wants to see the home Super Bowl game for the Bucks. I've been waiting my entire life for that.
I mean, I always root against
Tom. They're only going to let 20,000 fans there anyway. Half of them are going to be nurses.
Nurses are football fans. Yeah.
All right.
What are they allowing? 25,000, you said?
22,000 maybe, 22. Something like that.
Bucks-Bills, that'd be nice.
You know what? 22,000 is going to look like 100,000.
I know, it's
compared
massive.
To what we've seen every week.
Why don't they just let it in?
I can't believe Green Bay is only allowing 3,500. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's a joke.
Well, they had their all-time high in deaths yesterday, so I think they're trying to get a hold of it. But why won't they have 50,000 nurses there?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Because they want to make some money. Are they giving those tickets to them free, the healthcare workers, or they have a shot to buy? Yeah, so they just want to sell the others. Yeah. That would be my guess.
Well, we can open it up to callers. You can give us a call on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. What do you want to see? I know Cakes doesn't want to see Tom Brady because he said it'd be just 2 weeks of stories about Tom getting back to the Super Bowl.
It'll be so annoying.
Playing a home game in Tampa, and I agree with you. I just think the Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes matchup, like their talent level is the most similar. I think that will be a great, great matchup.
I think any of the matchups would be great.
Yeah, you can't lose. We're in a good
arguably
spot.
You got arguably the four best quarterbacks. Probably do.
Yeah. But I think by far, the Bills are the biggest underdog, right? They're the biggest underdog. They're the fun team, I think, to root for. Yeah.
I don't think he's going. I think he's listed as questionable. But any chance that Breland Island locks down Stephon Diggs?
I don't think anybody's locked him down all year. No, I mean, I like Bashaud Breland. But he's fine. Diggs is one of the best.
Breland was a knucklehead when he was here. I thought he'd be out of the league by now. that guy's pretty good.
He's carving out a good career because he's solid, but what was his license plate, Jason, in Virginia?
Breland Island.
Right. That's silly. That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure it was Breland Island. I saw him at the car wash one day.
And he also brought his car to 106.7 The Fan Fest.
Yep.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He got paid, too. Don't think he didn't. Don't think he didn't get paid to be there.
All right, if you want to chime in.
And the best part is those games are at 3 and at what, 6:40?
6:40.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Should be done by 10.
Awesome.
It should be at 1 and 4:30, but okay.
I'm with you, Jason. Nice and early.
Yeah.
All right, if you want to chime in, what's the Super Bowl matchup you want to see? 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We just put on our Junkies Twitter page, at Junks Radio, the Junkies poll of the day presented by Van Meter Homes. And that's, what's the matchup you want to see in the Super Bowl? It looks like the early leader in the clubhouse is KC Green Bay. Actually, no, you know what? Buffalo Green Bay has jumped. So you can vote at Junks Radio. Like Jason said, none of the matchups will be bad.
Mm-mm. Yeah, they're all great.
There's going to be plenty really of storylines, but I'm kind of with Cakes. But I've always been an anti-Tom Brady guy, root against him. I don't want to see Tampa in the Super Bowl. It just would be annoying.
I'm caught up in the feel-good story of Buffalo for some reason. I haven't really had much affinity for him all year, but as I've started to watch him in the last few weeks, they've been really fun. So I'm on the Buffalo train. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm rooting for them.
For being a bunch of maniacs that hurl themselves into folding tables, the Bills Mafia, they've got some good hearts, man. Like, they raised a ton of money for Josh Allen's, I think his grandmother, like a charity he was close to for his grandmother. And then when Lamar got knocked out of the game, a bunch of Bills Mafia people donated a ton of cash to, I believe it was a charity in Louisville that Lamar Jackson has supported over the years. They dig deep, man. They not only support Buffalo players, they'll support other players as well.
Seems like people are okay with 3 out of the 4 teams. Just looking at the poll real quick, again, you can vote at Junks Radio. Tampa's getting the least amount of love. Let's go to the phones. Dunlap's in D.C. on line 1. Who do you want to see in the Super Bowl, Dunlap?
Hey, what's up, man? Guys, good show as always. I just want to see Tom Brady get to the Super Bowl and play Mahomes. That was my pick from the beginning of the season, and I wish I would have bet it. Good chance it might happen. And then the fact that Tom Brady, went against, Drew Brees, one, if he beats Rodgers, and then how big of a story would that be to, play Mahomes and Brady, man?
Why are you skipping over his win against Taylor Heineke?
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't think we had a chance to win that game because of the refs. If you look at the calls there was in that Saints game, they had a neutral chance to win. because the calls were on both sides. We wasn't beating no Tom Brady.
Right, the refs hate the Washington football team.
Yep. Hey. I think we would have had to be up a lot earlier in that game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Dunlop. Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, if Tom wins, what would that be? Would that be his eighth ring?
I think seven.
Seven, I believe. Seven. He has
he's
six
got
now.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be his seventh.
I still remember
pretty,
Jason at MGM National Harbor when we went at halftime.
Yeah.
We had to go schmooze with some executives, and we were partying in the tap room. And, of course, the Falcons had this huge lead, and Jason being a 49ers fan growing up, huge Montana guy. And at the time, I think they were tied with four rings each.
Yeah.
And you just started, like, well, we're going right down the main part of the casino. You just started chirping about Joe Montana's better than Tom. Tom's never going to catch him.
Well, I mean, Atlanta was drumming them, and then some horrible decision making by Ryan, some bad play calling. I think that was Kyle Shanahan, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
They took that sack. Matt Ryan took that sack when they were trying to burn clock.
I ducked out and went to the poker room. I was seeing flops during the second half, barely paying attention. Then I was like, "What in the world is happening? This game's coming close."
All they had to do was run the football the rest of the game.
Kyle
got cute. Yeah, he had a strip sack. And just, I mean, give credit to Tom and the Patriots because they made plays, but Atlanta gave him an opportunity.
Brady's great, but he's so damn lucky.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the tuck rule, he should have never won the first one. He should have gave the ball to Lynch. I mean, he's just so lucky. Touched by God.
He's been very
fortunate. There's a lot of truth.
Now, they would counter and say that they've been unlucky by a couple of crazy Eli plays in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, the catch on the helmet.
Yeah, the David Tyree catch.
Tyree, yeah. Is this championship game number 15 for Brady, or is it 14?
14.
14.
14. 14 championship games. That's unbelievable.
It is. Especially, you know, we were talking about Matthew Stafford earlier. He hasn't even won a playoff game.
Right.
Exactly.
32 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
And Brady's won 32 playoff games.
Usually when guys get older, the fans, they kind of turn around and they fall for, you know, like Jimmy Connors was a villain, and then you embrace him. John McEnroe was a villain, then you embrace him, right? I don't feel like that's really happened with Tom. He's still kind of a villain outside of New England, right? He's 43 years old. What he's doing is remarkable. You would think there would be more of an embrace of him.
He's not
beloved.
He's
not beloved. Maybe it's just people are just so inherently jealous of him.
Is it just the personality or just the success?
I think it's
a
little bit the personality.
Well, the fact that he wins so often, too. I think people just want to see some fresh blood in there. They're sick of seeing
him. But Tiger won all the time, and everyone loved him.
Jordan as well.
People just love –
Everyone loved Tiger.
Everybody loved Michael Jordan.
There's something off-putting about Tom. I don't know what it is. There's maybe just an arrogance, but Jordan's arrogant, Tiger's arrogant.
But he was associated, too, with the evil empire and Bill Belichick and the cheating and some of that stuff.
Nobody cares about Spygate or Deflategate in 2021.
Nobody really cares.
Nobody
cares
about that.
I think it's that he's
because he hates Brady because he's a Colts fan that's been just pwned by Brady over the years.
No, I actually don't hate him as much. I don't hate him as much because I told you I watched the TV,
I know, the Facebook
special
documentary.
Yeah, whatever it was, the Facebook documentary came off pretty likable.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that, so I don't have that opinion. I just know, I think, my theory is that he's got this model wife, they're worth $1 billion. You know, he's super good looking. He's been sort of with the evil empire and Bill Belichick in New England, and just people just have not embraced him.
What kind of sucks about it is that I don't think on a week-to-week basis throughout his career, Tom Brady's been the best quarterback in the NFL, without a doubt. But he just wins all the time. And so, you have to say he's the greatest of all time because he has so many rings. But I don't think, in his era...
He's been darn good.
But there's not, any
separation. In his era, Manning was winning the MVPs more often.
Right.
Manning was having better regular seasons. It's just he had much more postseason success.
I mean, is he really a better quarterback than Elway and Marino? I don't know. I mean, he wins a lot.
Yeah, just in terms of skills,
skill level, yeah.
Probably not. Because he didn't have the arm that those two guys had.
Just damn
you know, he's only been, I think he's only been all pro, first team all pro three times.
You think he's a big
luck
box,
think about it.
Drab.
think about it, all those years before he had that 1 year where he really broke out, he was never like a fantasy quarterback either. You would never draft him.
Look, he won MVP before. Twice. Peyton won it five times. But Peyton's got two Super Bowls, and one was kind of a gift in Denver. And,
right.
But a lot of that is luck because Denver had a great team, and you know Baltimore beat him that one time, that long play. Is that Peyton's fault? You know,
Brady's got three MVPs, not two. He's got three.
I thought he only had two.
No, he's got three. 2017.
See, that's JP's bias working against Brady right there, taking away an MVP from him.
He's still using old talking points.
Didn't you take the bias training, JP, through Entercom? Come on.
When he gets to the playoffs, 32-11.
That's a pretty sick record. You can't argue with that.
Those numbers?
And what's his touchdown to interception ratio there?
In his playoffs? Let's see. I got it right here. Touchdowns to interceptions, 77-35. Career playoff rating of 90.
It's pretty good.
It's decent. But if Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers are better than that.
Not in the playoffs. That's Nubs' regular season.
But Drab's right in that he's been lucky. Look, he won a couple Super Bowls by a field goal, right? So if his kicker ends up botching it, he doesn't have the amount of rings. But you have to give him credit.
I'm a hater. I'm just putting that out there. Don't listen.
I'm pretty much a hater too.
I don't know.
Haters are gonna hate.
But
I don't think they're that good.
I'm looking at the poll right now. Tampa, the two choices for Tampa are at 23% and 13%. People would rather watch Buffalo Green Bay or KC Green Bay than any sort of Tampa matchup.
Yeah.
It's the least attractive.
I'm kind of with them on that. And I feel like in the middle of this year, they were kind of exposed. Now, they're playing well, and maybe it's because Tom's gotten more control of the offense and they're doing what he wants.
Yeah.
But what they had that little swoon, I thought the bloom was off Tampa.
They did, but they were losing some really good teams. Now, they got blown out in a couple of those, which you didn't expect. But, they're 12-5. 12, right. 12 out of 17 ain't bad. They're pretty good.
Right. I don't know. I'd rather see some new blood in there. Let's see. And that's Buffalo. But we'll see. I know this. It's must-see TV. Even Kevin McCarthy's watching the playoff football.
Yes.
And this weekend, the teams are so good. Just tell your family that they're either going to watch with you or you're going to ignore them.
Kevin knew
that's
who
the only way they're
going to
get
any
attention.
That was stunning news. That was stunning development.
Exactly.
He's all right.
How does he
playoffs.
Know that?
Right. I don't
know.
That's
bizarre.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up the entertainment page. EB is going to fill us in on a new hip-hop biopic next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.